Hare Krishna. So we continue with our discussion on Vaishnava Sadachar, discussing the fourth topic today, the topic of managing in a harmonious way, managing things in a harmonious Vaishnava way. Now, let's first understand, look quickly at the broad purposes of management, and then we will look at the principles underlying management. Now, what all do the managing leaders of our movement have to manage? First and foremost, ours is a spiritual movement. So, the spiritual standards that Srila Prabhupada has given, they have to be maintained, but both in terms of the practice by individual devotees and in terms of that standards of deity worship and conducting of temples that Prabhupada expected. So, there is individual standards of morning program and other things, and the standards of deity worship, proper offering to the deities, and these standards are there. Then apart from that, we have the temple properties and temple finances. They have to be kept in order. And beyond that, the devotees need to be nourished. Devotees are ultimately volunteers. So if they feel nourished physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, then they will move onwards in their spiritual life happily. And then, of course, ours is an outreach movement. It's not that just we want to maintain what we have. So we want to make sure that the preaching programs are going on nicely and people are being attracted to Krishna. And one of the major ways in which we expand our movement is by distributing books. So that books are being distributed. So these are the broad purposes of management. There is maintaining the properties, maintaining the devotees, maintaining the standards, and expanding the outreach. So, now, how does one go about maintaining these things? What all is required for this? So, first of all, ours is a voluntary movement. And there's a beautiful letter by Srila Prabhupada to Karandhar. This is Bombay, 22nd December 1972. So, the future of this Krishna consciousness movement is very bright. So long the managers remain vigilant that 16 rounds are being chanted by everyone without fail, that they are all rising before 4 morning, attending Mangalarti. Our leaders shall be careful, this is important now, what we are discussing. Our leaders shall be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual and spontaneous and voluntary. They should try always to generate some atmosphere of fresh challenge to the devotees, so that they will agree enthusiastically to rise and meet it. That is the art of management, to draw out spontaneous, loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna. So Prabhupada gives a sutra definition over here. The art of management, what is it? To draw out spontaneous, loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna. So, and our movement is a movement of volunteers. And people cannot be forced to do things. They can be only inspired to do things. The art of management is that leaders draw out that spirit. Oh, I would like to give some money for Krishna. I would like to give some time for Krishna. I would like to do some energy for Krishna. I would like to take up some responsibility for Krishna. I would like to do something for Krishna. There's one lecture in which Srila Prabhupada gives such an inspiring definition of Krishna consciousness. He states that if we go in front of the deities and take darshan, and while taking darshan, we feel that Krishna is asking me, what are you doing for me? So he says, if we feel that Krishna wants us to do something for him, then that is Krishna consciousness. So this is such a practical yet profound definition. That rather than saying just chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day or that think of Krishna's pastimes, Prabhupada comes down to earth and gives us in a way that we can relate with. That Krishna is our Lord, He's our Master, and we aspire to love and serve Him. And that we express in a way, what are you doing for me? So Krishna, so that feeling that people should have, yes, I want to do something for Krishna. The art of management is to inspire people to want to do something for Krishna. As Prabhupada puts it, to draw out spontaneous loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna. So to draw it out from people. What can I do? How can you do it? So now that is very significant. So now what do leaders have to do for this? Actually, when people practice Krishna consciousness, people hear the philosophy, they understand how wonderful Krishna is, and they themselves relish the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, the holy name, through the darshan of the deities, through prasad, the association of devotees, they naturally want to do something for Krishna. And in fact, many devotees have so much energy to do something for Krishna that if they just give a little encouragement, they will do a lot. So there can be devotees who already have some ideas to do something for Krishna and they just need some encouragement to do it. Or there are other devotees who have the energy and resources to do something for Krishna, but they don't know what to do. So if they are given some guidance, can you do this, they will take it up and they will do it. So generally, the first category where people already have initiative and people already have a vision of what they want to do for Krishna, that is often quite rare. But most devotees may not have that level of vision. So, but if they are told, can you do this, many devotees are enthusiastic to do. And they just need some encouragement, some appreciation, and they will be happily doing service for Krishna. So Prabhupada writes over here, that our leaders shall be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual and spontaneous and voluntary. So which is individual and spontaneous and voluntary. Prabhupada actually used the same three words another time. Once when there was a group of book distributors who were distributing books very well, and they were just very successful, they went to Srila Prabhupada and then they told, Prabhupada, we have found that if we use certain lines, speak in certain ways, do certain gestures, then people get persuaded and they purchase the books. So we are thinking of forming a team and going temple to temple and training devotees to use the same lines and to speak in the same way and to influence people. And that way we can distribute your books in phenomenal quantities. So Prabhupada, when he heard this, they thought Prabhupada would be very pleased. Prabhupada became grave. And Prabhupada said, devotional service is individual, voluntary and spontaneous. When the soul desires to do something for Krishna, then service is performed. So inspire the soul to serve Krishna. What you should do is, don't inspire the person to serve Krishna. So everyone is individual. Devotional service is individual, voluntary and spontaneous. Individual means every soul is different. And every soul has, in the spiritual world also, there is individual relationship with Krishna. And here in the material world also, people are different. So our philosophy is not a one-size-fits-all for everyone. Although, yes, we have one Mahamantra, we have one God, but that Mahamantra and that God are not meant to make us all one like Mayavadis. This oneness is like the oneness of treatment that brings out our individuality. And there is an individuality at the material level also. And because the individuality is recognized in Shastra, that's why we have an ashram. Okay, this person has a Brahminical nature, this person has a Vaishya nature, like that. So, people are individual and they need to be inspired and engaged while honoring their individuality. And then voluntary. Again, they are not obliged to serve Krishna. If they don't feel inspired, they may stop serving. So we always need to remember that what they're doing is voluntary and they need to be encouraged and appreciated. And then it's spontaneous. Spontaneous means that, actually speaking, now Prabhupada is not referring here to spontaneous meaning anything like Raganuga Bhakti or any of the advantages of devotion. That spontaneous is more in terms of the attraction of the heart to Krishna, of the thoughts going towards Krishna immediately, instantaneously or automatically or spontaneously. Here when Prabhupada talks about spontaneous, he's talking more in terms of how each soul is individually inspired according to one's nature. And in that sense, the performance of bhakti is spontaneous. So now that means according to individual, not just nature, but according to individual inspiration. So inspiration cannot be legislated. No, we cannot tell that you have to be inspired by this person only, or you have to be inspired by this service only. Yes, to some extent, devotees need to be trained so that they accept whatever service they are told to do. But over a period of time, if they have to become self-motivated in order to be able to keep, in order to keep serving Krishna lifelong, now, is it that throughout their life they will always have someone telling them, okay, now you finish this, now you do this, now you do this, now you do this? That is unlikely. So they need to be self-motivated to find out how best can I serve Krishna. And that's why there has to be room for individuality, spontaneity, and acknowledgement of the voluntary nature of Krishna consciousness. So when this is done, the Prabhupada is saying, the leader shall be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service. Now, how can the spirit of enthusiastic service be killed? If people are not appreciated, if their suggestions are not given due consideration, if they are, if they feel neglected or disrespected or trampled down upon, then their spirit of service will get killed. And it's very unfortunate. In fact, it's an act of great violence. The soul wants to serve Krishna, and we don't care for that soul's wanting to serve Krishna. So it is, leaders should be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service. So now, this is one aspect of management, that if some devotees have some inspiration to serve Krishna, then fan their inspiration, and they will do wonders for Krishna. So the leadership essentially means encouraging people to use their energies in Krishna's service. That's what Prabhupada is speaking over here. And then Prabhupada also says that while managing, so first principle is that people have energy, use it in Krishna's service. But then we may find out that sometimes people start doing some things which are inappropriate, and we can't let them go on doing things. So there has to be some suggestions or corrections, or room for improvement has to be given. We'll discuss about giving corrections more in detail, but here let's focus on this. This is a letter to Hamsatha, Vrindavan 7, September 1974. Prabhupada is saying that regarding your trip to USA, you say that you will be tactful and respectful in your dealings. That should be the motto of all GBC. So, be tactful and respectful. So, respectful means we recognize that this person has a certain feeling, this person has a certain position, this person comes from a particular background, and we respect that. But at the same time, we have to do service, so we present things in such a way that tactfully the service moves on. So, be tactful and be respectful. So, we see that Srila Prabhupada himself was this way. He is tactful, at the same time he is respectful. When the devotees in London, they had the breakthrough, and then they were able to get through to George Harrison, and then George Harrison produced an album for them, and they became practically world famous, at least became famous in their own countries and in Europe also. Then they decided to invite Srila Prabhupada, and they planned to build a temple. So at that time, the temple was being constructed, but they had no idea where to get the deities from. So somehow they got a message, it was Krishna's arrangement, not somehow. They say something when it happens by coincidence. And the coincidences are God's ways of staying anonymous. So by Krishna arranged that a local Hindu told that for their temple, he belonged to some other organization, they had got them deities, but a finger had got damaged. So they decided that we can't install these deities. If you want, you can come and look at the deities. And Prabhupada went to see the deities, and he was so excited, so delighted. See the deities. These will be the deities for our temple. And he actually got the Malakrishna Maharaj and others who were there with him. Can you check how heavy the deity is? And they lifted. And then suddenly Prabhupada said, so thank you very much for giving us these deities. We are very grateful to you. And Prabhupada was very perfectly cordial and polite and allaying this person. At the same time, he asked that he would take the deities. Now Prabhupada was concerned. You know, now that we are building a temple and deities have also come, let's not lose this opportunity. Let's have these deities and take those deities. So, some people may feel that, is this appropriate to do like this? But the point is, a devotee is daksha. A devotee knows that the service of Krishna has to go on. So, whatever is required for the service of Krishna, do it. So, anyway, that person wanted to give the deities, but Prabhupada was concerned that in all the formalities of that organization sanctioning and then getting it through, something may get stuck up. We don't really know what Prabhupada was thinking. But we can clearly see from his actions that he considered it urgent. Now that we've got a chance to get the details, don't put it off for the future. Just take it right now. We may not apply the exact thing that Prabhupada did, but we can learn the principle that we can present Krishna consciousness in such a way, or we can do our service in such a way that we respect others, but at the same time, we make sure that our things, the service that we want to do, gets done. So this applies not only to this, to getting things done while dealing with others, but also to engaging others. So sometimes people want to do particular things in particular ways. And then if it is found that what the institution requires at a particular time is something different, then we have to be respectful. Okay, this is what you want to do, that's good. Right now, we need to do this. Be tactful, be gentle, but make sure that things move forward. And there's a letter to Upendra where Prabhupada says that we must always remember the leader in charge of a temple must learn to successfully deal with the other person there. No one is working as a paid servant. So, if the dealings are not friendly, everyone will decide to leave. So again, Prabhupada is reminding us again and again that the devotees who are practicing are volunteers and they cannot be forced. So if the dealings are not nice, they will leave. So management means that through warm dealings, people feel inspired to serve. So now there is that famous verse that prasangamacharam pasham atmanah kavayo vidu saiva sadhu shukrito mokshadwaram apavritam. So this verse talks about how attachment to material things, an attachment to material relationship specifically, that is something which binds the soul. Prasangam ajaram pasham, prasanga is attachment, ajara, jara is old age, ajaram is that which never grows old. Now we may grow old physically, but our desires don't grow old. Prasangam ajaram pasham, pasha, that shackle, so the attachment is like a shackle which never grows old. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidhu. The kavayo, the wise people, they know that this is a very, very difficult to give up shackle of attachment. So eva sadhu shukruto, that if it is directed towards the sadhus, then mokshadwaram apavritam, the doors to liberation open by that. Mokshadwaram. So now what this essentially implies is that actually mokshadwaram, we can say that does this apply only to advanced devotees, pure devotees, or the spiritual master or some pure devotee? I feel attracted to that devotee. That is fine if I feel attracted to an exalted devotee, Srila Prabhupada or some of his exalted disciples. But in terms of practical day-to-day functioning, the devotees will be relating with others in their community leaders and others. So if they have a good relationship with them, then that principle of relationship will be like a knot which ties them together. And this tying together is good. Because by this tying, so when the subordinates are attracted to the leader, are inspired by the leader, then they want to do something for the leader. So then when the leader is moving towards Krishna, the subordinates are attached to the leader, then the subordinates being attached to the leader will also move towards Krishna. So that dealings need to be pleasant. And Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction that actually the sixfold loving exchanges are what nourish the Krishna consciousness moment. It's a very profound point. That now we say, what is it that nourishes the Krishna consciousness movement? We could say it's remembrance of Krishna, it's the chanting of the holy names, it's the worship of the deities. From different perspectives, they're all true also. But in the context where Prabhupada is saying that ultimately the Krishna consciousness movement, what makes it a movement is those who are moving. And those who are moving are its members. Of course, they are moving because they are inspired by Krishna, because they want to serve Krishna, and because they want and feel more, they want reciprocation from Krishna and they feel reciprocation from Krishna. So what makes a movement is its movers. And the movers are its members. So the members to the extent they are inspired to do something, to move on, then to that extent it will be a movement. Otherwise, it will just become a something stagnant. So, to keep devotees moving, it's important that they themselves, to some extent, have an inspiration to want to move on. And then the leaders guide them how to move on, or the leaders give them instruction by which they can move on. But the sixfold loving exchanges ensure that devotees become bonded to each other nicely, and then they can move on in their devotional service. Move on and do lots of service for Krishna. So, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met Rupa and Sanatan, or basically when he met the Goswamis, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan, but his mother requested him to go to Puri. So he came to Puri and he made Puri his stronghold, where he got many of his associates. He converted Sarvam Bhattacharya, who was a leading scholar over there. And he made, to a large extent, from a functional perspective, Jagannath Puri became like the headquarters of Krishna consciousness. Converted Pratap Rudra also, delivered him. So in that way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Jagannath Puri an enclave of stronghold of Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, his heart is still desired to make Vrindavan also a vibrant place of Krishna bhakti, so that the place where Krishna had appeared and performed pastimes would be preserved and glorified. So then, what did he do? He met the Goswamis. Now, if you look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita carefully, the Goswamis met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only on very few occasions. But on each of these occasions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had special interaction with them. Guhyam akhyati prachati bhungte bhojayate chaiva tadati pratigrahanati. So he heard from them, he shared the heart with them. He gave them special gifts. He had prasad with them. So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did was, he had prasad. Now of course, some of them did not really literally take prasad with him. They had so much awe of him. But he ensured that they also got prasad. And if they brought some offerings, he took that from them also. So when Sanatana Goswami's body was covered with pus, at that time he did not want to go near anyone at all. He felt that my body is so smelly and messy and dirty. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not only went to him, but embraced him. And if you look carefully at what happened in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what happened over there, what touched Sanatana Goswami was not just the fact that by the touch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his boils disappeared. He says, yes, that was miraculous. But for him, the special miracle was that even when he had such boils, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ready to embrace him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved him so much. And this was a memory which stayed with him for a long, long time. Similarly, when both these pastimes come in the Antilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when Rupa Goswami comes, so at that time, what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? Now he takes all his venerable associates with him, and they all go to study the poetry of Rupa Goswami, and they all profusely praise it. So that moment, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, those moments, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu associates, they appreciate Rupa Goswami. Those become permanently embedded in the heart of Rupa Goswami, and remembering them, cherishing them, he, in Vrindavan, keeps writing more and more and more of his books. And he created thus the foundation of the legacy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, especially in terms of Rasa theory. He wrote Bhaktisamrita Sindhu, Ujjwala Neelamani and other books. The point is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did a revolution not only in Puri by his personal presence, but he also did a revolution in Vrindavan by the inspiration that he imparted to those who interacted with him only on few occasions. But those interactions were so inspirational, so transformational, that they created memories which lasted for years and decades and lifetimes in the hearts of those people, the Goswamis, and inspired them to lay their life in selfless service for Krishna, for Lord Chaitanya. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in one sense, did no management, but still he managed expertly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never officially the institutional head of any matha, and in many ways actually the survival and the spreading of Krishna, of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, is a historical miracle, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not officially start an organization. He did not write a book that gave his will in a very formal way. Nor did he appoint any successors in any way. Now, for any leader to ensure the perpetuation of his mission, these three are very important. To appoint successors, official successors, to write a testament or will, and to create a structure, to create an organizational structure by which his vision can be carried on. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did none of these, and still his legacy went on and on and on. It's still going on and it's expanding. So how did this happen? At least during his times, it happened because he inspired so many hearts that the love of the hearts and the love of those hearts, love in those hearts for him and the inspiration therein to serve him endured even after he departed from the world. So that's how the art of management is not so much of technicalities, this rule and that rule and that rule. Now, of course, there can be practicalities in terms of policies and other things which managers have to evolve so that there can be transparency and then there can be consistency. So transparency means people know this is why this was done, this is why this was done, this is why this was done. And consistency means people see, okay, this is the policy and this is how things are happening. So people don't feel that, oh, the managers are arbitrary and they do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. That discourages people. So people need to see transparency and consistency. So then the policies are important for that. But beyond that, or foundational to that, we could say, is that there is the desire to inspire devotees. And that actually comes from spiritual purity. When the devotee is sincerely serving Krishna and is trying to go closer to Krishna, then Krishna, through the heart of the devotee, attracts others to him also. Others to him, and through him, attracts them towards Krishna. So, this way we can keep devotees engaged in Krishna's service. And we can inspire them to more, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired, just as Srila Prabhupada inspired. And then lastly, one aspect of management is that we should not overstep our jurisdiction. So, everyone, various different devotees have different roles to play in the movement. And every devotee needs some level of some room, some freedom, where the individual creativity, the individual initiative, the individual energy can be executed. So if somebody's constantly poking one's nose into somebody else's business, and that devotee feels intruded, mistrusted, and overall uninspired to do anything substantial. So there is a fine line between giving too long a rope and giving too short a rope. Giving too long a rope means people do whatever they want and there is no sense of accountability. And too short a rope means this long and short rope actually basically comes from the west. One of the ways it comes from is like a dog is given too long a rope. The dog will go far away and pull here and there. Too short a rope, the dog will feel strained. So, or it can apply to a horse also. When a person is riding a horse and a person is taking a chariot. Whichever way. The point is that there has to be balance. That the leader should not feel that the subordinates of a leader should not feel that we are being constantly intruded upon. So there's a letter of Prabhupada to this effect. So Srila Prabhupada states that GBC does not mean to control a center. The president, the treasurer, and secretary are responsible for managing the center. GBC is to see that things are going on nicely, but not to exert authority. That is not the power of GBC. So, the point is, here Prabhupada is just giving an example, one quote. There's no need to go into the context, because that's very specific. But a general principle is that there are jurisdictions, and it's very good to have, wherever there are going to be overlapping areas of influence and control and possible conflict are going to be there, then it's good to have some operational policies defined by which we can know, okay, this is under your jurisdiction, this is under my jurisdiction. And that way, and whenever there is some major issue which needs to be considered, there can be discussion. But to manage means that people need to be given adequate freedom. And one of the ways Srila Prabhupada was able to spread Krishna consciousness so wonderfully was because he gave initiative, gave freedom to people. So that's how we see that our movement spread so miraculously fast in its first 10 to 15 years. Prabhupada gave devotees the inspiration spiritually, and then he gave them freedom. He would tell them, you take whichever country you want and go and deliver that country. And now, the story is thrilled. What an idea. I can go to a country and deliver a country. And Prabhupada was gave them that initiative. Now, of course, because they were young, and sometimes some mistakes happened. But the important thing was that beyond those mistakes, many of those devotees were sincere. They sincerely shared Krishna consciousness. They attracted many, many more sincere souls also. So essentially, the management is not about learning from some management books about how to do this, this, this. Although these principles may be useful in a particular context, but overall management means that we inspire devotees to serve Krishna, and that we tactfully and respectfully ensure that the services are going on in a proper way, and that we don't step on someone else's shoes, but give them enough room so that they can also serve Krishna enthusiastically. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.